KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media Station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go, 2 hours left, big show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is a Way Back Wednesday, songs from the year 1979. If you missed it, shame on you, but we came up with the theme. I believe it was suggested.
Who did suggest it? One of the listeners, I don't remember who.
Because the Astros had 79 home runs heading into Detroit last night, yeah. So we did for the year 1979, and all came up with lists accordingly.
You love you some Earth, Wind, and Fire September.
I do. I just love Earth, Wind, and Fire, period. They've been great for a long time. They were great. I saw them in concert multiple times. Fantastic. It's just that there's not many left of them anymore.
Who is like, do they, is it, do you like, well, the only one left is Wind. Is it just, does he tour as Wind now?
But like, it's
just
like, no, it's like it's
Wind featuring Wind and the Gusts.
But ironically, know, like, all the skinny ones are dead. And Philip Bailey, who also did Easy Lover with Bill Collins, which was a big hit.
Is he fire or wind or earth? Which one is he?
Believe me, right now he's all three and like a snow and a blizzard. Because I'm several blizzards with extra cookies. Because I'm saying it, all the skinny ones are dead. And Phil Bailey blew up to like 300 pounds. And he's just,
well, he's earth,
he's still doing it. And
Earth is big.
He's so the he's one with earth. All the high notes.
Yeah, that is weird that the fat guy has all the
he's
high notes.
He's bringing it.
Man, that's, I wonder if they did, like, I wonder how you come up with a name like that.
A lot of these band names, it's always interesting to see how they come up with names.
I would like to see if they were just like, well, you're big as the earth, and your breath is hot as fire, and you won't stop farting. Boom! Earth, Wind, and Fire, baby, we got our name. What? Like, I don't know.
Okay, then explain Weezer.
Someone had asthma. The lead singer has asthma.
Either that, and they were like, boy, when he was getting it done, couldn't breathe right.
Always wheezing. By the way, I got my Texas card revoked.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Again?
Apparently, I said Kenny Rogers sang Luckenbach, Texas, and it was Waylon Jennings that sang.
Bye, Felicia.
That's on me. I got to be a better Texan.
We don't even want to know you anymore. Yeah.
I got to be to Louisiana, Barry.
Barry needs to vanish.
I got
to
be a better Texan. That was awful. How do you have that ready?
You know what I was going to do?
You really want me fired.
After the
How
Rockets
do you have
lost,
that ready?
I was thinking of that song instead of, but at the end, it's so hard to say goodbye to Golden State because that's all they thought about for 5 years. I thought about someone should do a remix of that song for the Rockets, but yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I saw them probably 6 years ago in Tahoe in an outdoor venue. Still sounded like just everything that you hear
on the
radio.
Were they doing like the old man moves where they'll just kind of like twirl their arms a lot and maybe spin once?
No. Like I said.
Were they dancers? Did they do a lot of
movement? Oh, yeah. Like the bassist, which skinny dude, he kind of looked like Sweet Lou Dunbar from the Globetrotters a little bit with kind of like the wet look, long hair with the
beard.
Jerry
Curl? You can say Jerry
Curl. Not the Jerry Curl. This was more kind of just wet look.
Okay.
And a goatee. But he had the guitar, but yet he was with the platform shoes and kicking and moving and dancing. And, you know, Phil's not going to move too quick. But rest of them, they and the horn section and everything was just right on. They were good.
Interesting.
Yeah, they still tour.
Whiskey Tango said, I've got a wedding later this year. I'm going to drop some Kenny Rogers lyrics on my best man speech. Bro, please record that. Like, you'll go viral if you do that.
That's probably true. You're probably right.
I mean, I would try to mix it in and just record it and see what happens and send me a copy because that would be... I wrote a joke about this and wanted to do it on stage and never did. I'm telling you, this would work, though. This would work.
You know what you think about it?
But these young cats don't know who Kenny Rogers
is.
You're totally get away with quoting the gambler and they'd be like, man, your dad is smart, bro. Like, that's so smart.
But you know what? And again, because a lot of people just... They freeze when they're up there doing speeches and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. They could learn a thing or two from songs.
That's right.
You can think about it. I mean, look, you could even use Neil Diamond. You could say, you know, for everybody in the room, you feel there's a certain aura in the room. It's almost like hand reaching out, touching hands. And then when you get to touching me, touching you.
I'll be over here.
Might be time for the honeymoon.
Lance Ford said, hey, could you, if you were explaining band names, can you explain the Butthole Surfers band name? Yeah. So this one guy is a surfer, and he's kind of a b-hole. He's kind of a jerk about it. Or.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
There's this dude and this other dude.
From there, we shall ask you about the Sex, like, Pistols.
That's just
the,
yeah.
Okay.
That's just the genital, right?
Don't write me. I don't know. I don't have the answer to your question.
That's,
sir,
a weird one. Yeah, I'm not sure with the Sex,
well,
Pistols.
Well, they were a little weird.
Huh?
Sid and Nancy, they were a little out there.
Yeah, but Nancy wasn't in the Sex Pistols. Sid was.
Okay, well, but two of them were
Sid Vicious, out there. Yeah. Johnny Rotten, and no one knows the other two. Because no one cared about them. Mm-mm. They weren't the crazy ones.
Okay, I got another one for you.
Okay.
Violent Femmes.
That's easy. That's just you on an actual day. Just the femmes that you give off are violent.
No, those are fumes.
That was the point, Joel.
I know.
Thank you.
I know. I thought you were going to go political on me or something like
no.
that.
No.
There's some, yeah. Band names and how they came up with them are always interesting.
Yep.
So.
Cool stories.
Don't forget Hootie and the Blowfish, Nick.
How did they come up with their name?
It was college nicknames, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Didn't we talk about this?
Oh, his was a college nickname. I don't know where the Blowfish.
His was Hootie?
Yeah.
That was his Howdy. Nickname?
Yeah, Hootie in college, I believe, was his nickname.
Yeah, that'd be weird if your nickname, if a group of you were nicknamed the Blowfish.
Yeah, that's... Mm-mm.
Check out the Blowfish over there.
Like, it might go over well at Coin Club.
That might be a chick.
But that ain't going well on the mainstream. If you're doing, in 4-H or what is it, future FFA,
yeah,
you might get away with the Blowfish. But other than that,
not happening.
It's going to be questioned from time to time. Hey, interesting stat for you guys tonight. Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Game one in Milwaukee, Toronto, and the Bucks. Two best players on the court. I don't think anybody's going to argue. Kawhi and the Greek Freak.
Yep.
Right? How about the fact
and
that both
Adetokounmpo.
Of them? Very good. And now I hope you pay attention to a lot of guys on the air, too, who still can't say it right.
Yeah.
The ESPN guys hack it up a lot. But here's the thing. Do you realize both guys were the number 15 pick in the draft in their respective years?
Interesting.
You didn't even have to have a lottery pick, and you could have gotten one of the two best players left in the playoffs. Because obviously Kevin Durant's hurt.
That's pretty fascinating.
That's pretty cool.
Because I think the theory on the NBA draft is once you get outside of the top five, it's just
right. After that. Or, yeah, because, and I want to say this, and I'm going to look it up, but okay. I believe that I've researched this before. Your boy Daryl Morey passed on Kawhi Leonard.
Did he?
Yeah. I think it was Patrick Patterson's year. I'm going to check it out right now.
Well, he was drafted in
11.
Was it 11?
Yeah.
All right. So you're looking it up now?
I am looking at the 2011 NBA draft.
It was interesting last night. They were during the draft lottery.
Oh, God.
What happened?
Oh,
go ahead. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say it was one guy and I was wrong. It's going to make it worse.
No.
Okay.
Now, okay. A lot of teams passed on these guys.
Yeah.
Because the Rockets were 14
mm-hmm.
in the draft.
Oh, and I remember
right?
this draft now because I know that Daryl panicked. He knew that. Some names were coming off the board, and then he wanted to make an impact. So Kyrie Irving went number one.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Kawhi Leonard went 15. The Rockets had the 14th pick and let Kawhi Leonard go for Marcus Morris.
Yeah. Yeah, the brothers went back to back.
That's kind of what freaked him out, too. Because remember now, in college, Marcus was a better player than Markieff.
Yeah.
And then the first couple years in the league, Markieff really played well for Phoenix. Outplayed Marcus. Marcus had issues. Look, I was in the middle of some of them when he was with the Rockets and with McHale about being late for shoot-arounds and practices and just, you know, getting his stuff together. But once he got it together, look, he was a good piece for the Celtics this year. But you look at this draft class, Klay Thompson went 11th.
Yep.
Kemba Walker was 9th. And how about going lower down in the draft and looking at guys like Amon Shumpert was 17. Tobias Harris was 19.
Yeah, it was a pretty good draft. I mean,
Demo was 20.
Who, the Rockets?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget this too though. If you're going to poo-poo on Daryl Morey for passing on Kawhi Leonard, Pacers traded him.
to the Spurs
for George Hill,
and some other pieces. But yeah,
you gonna ding the Pacers GM too for that? Because that was a dumbass move.
Just like I dinged the Bucks when they traded Robert Tractor Trailer. They acquired Robert Tractor Trailer for a guy named Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
That's not going to sit well.
Butler was 30th. Reggie Jackson was in this draft. Miritich was in the draft.
Butler was 30th.
Yeah.
That's a crazy now. I understand some of the foreign players sliding.
Bogdanovich, first pick in the second round.
Yeah.
Love that dude. Okay. Very handsome man. And very handsome.
Maybe one of the best draft picks Daryl Morey ever made was the 38th pick in the draft in the second round.
Chandler Parsons.
Because he got him until you had to pay him, he got him at a bargain deal, and he really played well while he was here. And then we all know what happened after that. So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. Big game tonight, Eastern Conference. Last night was the Blazers and the Warriors in game one. That didn't go so well. And for people that wanted to have Portland kind of pay attention to what the Rockets did, their head coach wasn't having it either. We'll have that and a whole lot more as we continue to roll on. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the...
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on it, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a way back Wednesday. Songs from the year 1979. Barry had hour number one. I have hour number two. Nick, yours is, I take it, complete for hour number three?
It is. Hour number three.
He had it done early. Like, the whole list was out on the Twitters.
I will say I feel like you got more of the... Both of you got the...
Better songs.
Y'all picked first.
Yeah.
Yep.
I did mine. I stopped on the drive to Austin to eat. And I was like, let me just go ahead and knock this out because I'm not going to be back till 12:45.
I was going
to
say, were you like Googling on the way to Austin?
No, I just stopped and grabbed some food and thought, all right, I'll go ahead and knock
this out. I won't say what I called you, but I would say this. When we were walking
Son
to our cars, I said, you watch, on the way to Austin, he's going to put his list together before he gets there.
And that's exactly what happened.
That's what you did.
But I knew because I wouldn't be back till 12:30 and go to bed and then get up. I got to go get the haircut. And,
missed out on the free booze, didn't I? Damn.
We had a couple.
I told you.
I mean,
when
you still would have had to buy a couple.
What?
Yeah, it's a two-item minimum. That's how comedy clubs work. You know that. You've been to shows.
So your name wouldn't have any way of like, yo, I'm Barry's producer.
I've been to this club. This is a club that wouldn't let me in one time.
Yeah, he was telling us about it's a pretty tough gig to get into.
Me and Andy went there one day when we were in Austin with other gigs. Me and Andy Huggins.
The
original
Andy Huggins.
Texas Outlaw comic, like a legend around these parts.
He is.
And we go to the Cap City Comedy Club to watch Michael Blackson. And they were like, nope. We were like, but we're comics. They were like, nope. Apparently, he clicks the room. I may have told this story before, but some comics will do what's called clicking the room. Mm-hmm. And they'll have a person walk around because they get a door deal. A lot of comics, like Michael Blackson, who have a big following, will sell out these clubs. And instead of just getting a flat rate, they get a door deal where they get to keep like a certain percentage of the door.
Sure.
They might get food and beverage. Usually, the clubs won't let them touch that. But then they'll get some sort of kicker or bonus based on ticket sales. So what they'll do, because all their money rides on those the people in the room, one, nobody other than paying customers allowed. That's why we couldn't get in. And then they'll have a guy that just walks around that counts heads. He just clicks heads. One, two, three. He's got one of those little hand clickers like an umpire almost.
Yep.
And he's just counting. And then that's what every show.
You know who else does
his
that?
Assistant does
autographs,
that.
Right?
Yep. And it annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah.
That you're getting paid thousands of dollars to sign autographs. What's so big if you sign a few extra?
Yeah, I get that. But like in comedy, like that's your bread and butter. Man, if you've got a door deal, like Ralphie May would do that. He had a door deal. And so, man.
Because the second you let slip, or you, okay, I'll just give you this one extra dude. Right. I'll let this one dude go in, or I'll give one extra autograph. Then they just keep flexing it. So,
true. I mean, think about that. If you let, if 10 people were in, that's 10 tickets you could have sold because those are 10 seats that are given up. Now, a lot of us comics, we'll just sit in the back of the room. We don't usually take up a table or a seat or whatever, right. But I get it because they didn't want to accidentally, the club didn't want us to be clicked because now the club would have to pay for us. So it's a whole thing.
Yeah, you know what? And I get it from a comedy perspective. From the autograph perspective, I don't get it because, you know what? Without, like, say the guy who brought him in and paid him 10 grand for an hour or two, right? Brings, or how many autographs? And comes in and goes, hey, my neighbor's kid was a huge fan, or, you know, this, can you just get these for me? And they go, nope. And they just, unless you want to add it to the list of how many, we, you know, take another one off, how many we're going to sign. And it's like, dude, without this guy, you're not getting that check. Mm-hmm. You're not getting that money. Or the guys that are sitting there with 800 basketballs, having you sign each one of them, and goes, at the end, can you sign one for me? And there were, most guys be like, yeah, absolutely, you're busting your tail. Some guys be like, look at this counter going, nope, we've already reached our capacity.
Man, that's crazy.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I just think that's weak. But, all right, so there's that. So did you watch the game last night at all or hear about it?
I mean,
it,
I watched the third quarter. That's all I was able to watch.
Yeah.
Didn't look like they kept it close. I mean, I think it was six down in the going into the fourth quarter, which is where you want to be. That's why I was telling Jimmy, you with the Warriors, if you're within six or less, you have a chance to win that game. I feel like if they get a 10 or 12 up on you, it's just not going to happen. But so I missed the fourth quarter, but I don't think I missed much. I mean, it's the Warriors being the Warriors.
Yeah, the thing is I was completely perplexed at the way they were defending the Warriors. Because Portland can be physical. They're athletic. They have a lot of guys. You and I both talked about the length that they have with their versatile guys that play the 3-4 spot. They have a lot of different ways I thought that they could come at the Warriors. But the fact that they weren't doubling and trying to trap Steph was ridiculous. And the audacity of some of the people in the media that wanted to ask questions that people wanted to know about. After the game, they asked Terry Stotts about his defense, and particularly because of how the Rockets played the Warriors.
You know, Houston had some success, you know, trapping Steph and really getting out on him. Is this sustainable for you guys to keep dropping the big so far?
Did they, I can't remember, when he had 33 in the second half, were they trapping then?
Yes.
They were, and he scored 33 in the second half?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll look at that.
Yeah, he wouldn't have it.
At the end, he's like, we'll look into that. That was the best version I can get. But at the end, he's like, we'll look into that. But he's basically being facetious,
right,
and saying, look, trapping may not work against Steph because he still was able to score 33 in the second half.
Sure, in the second half of one game. But overall, when you look at the Rockets' defense, I would say for a Rockets fan perspective watching that game last night, you might have a little bit greater appreciation for what they were able to do just to slow that well-oiled machine down, whether it was with or without KD. Because with KD, they were constantly throwing guys to try and combat the size advantage. And with Steph, the flip side of the equation that Terry Stotts just talked about was, is it the same guy that in the first half went scoreless? Because as easy as you can say, is that the same guy in the second half that had 33?
Steph 0-for-5 for a half.
Flip the script and go, but isn't it the same guy that went scoreless for a first half? If you go into the fourth quarter, to your point, Barry, with only a 6-point deficit and you get the right half,
yeah,
you got a shot.
Yeah, and if you get Steph in that game where he scored 33 points in the second half, if you get him to score 5, maybe 8 less points, I think people would look at that defensive performance as a success against Curry. Like, if you hold him down to 25 points and he only got 25 points in one of those halves, some people might look at that as a success. The goal in a lot of these stars is just minimizing the damage. Mm-hmm. A guy like Curry, Durant, you're minimizing the damage. So,
right,
33 points is still amazing in a half, though.
Yeah, well, there's no still, doubt about it.
Safe to say, if they shot 51% from 3-point range, Warriors have found their stroke, and your defense did nothing to limit or prohibit that. Even if you hold him to 30%, that's going to be a big difference in that final score. So you can crap on the Rockets defense all you want, but I don't think there was a game where the Warriors shot 50% from 3-point range.
No, they struggled.
Most of the talk was about how Klay and Steph weren't shooting well until that last game when they went off. But give credit to the Warriors bench too in that game 6 that they lost. The whole bench stepped up, which is one thing I did find weird looking at the box score. And maybe you guys can explain it to me from the game perspective itself. But why even start Andrew Bogut if he's only going to play 8 minutes? Was he hurt? Did he get hurt? Was he injured?
No.
You started Andrew Bogut, he played 8 minutes.
But a lot of times...
What's the point in that?
A lot of times, and we talked about this when it came to the Rockets too, and we were talking about Gordon going back and forth. A lot of times you feel like when there's too much, you know, there's like either too much offense on the floor, or they feel like, I think in this case, is they, because they had little time to prepare from the time that they got down to their series. They didn't have a whole lot of, they didn't even know who they're going to play till Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it was a feeling out process of going, well, if they're going to start Cantor and they're going to go big, then Iguodala is our biggest player, or Draymond is probably going to struggle. So they needed someone to play the big until they figured out how they were going to play. And also...
You're saying Looney's going to start?
No, I'm saying... Two. Well, it depends. It could very possible. Yeah, if Cantor's not going to be a force down low. But I think the minute you take a good-sized body off of Cantor, they're going to go down in the low post to him. They should.
Cantor played 30 minutes.
He played 30 minutes, but that's what I'm saying. Early on, for the first 8 minutes, when you want to get off to a good start at home, mm-hmm. and you want to set the tone for the game... You got Bogut on him, so he's not going off on you.
Okay. I mean, for 8 minutes. I get it. The other thing that I did see in the third quarter was when Hood went down, grabbed his knee again. I was like, uh-oh. He was able to come back and he played, but...
I've said this to you guys in the past. That is a guy I think is perfect for the Houston Rockets.
Rodney Hood?
I've said it, yeah. And I wanted him to go get him at a trade deadline in the last couple years. But Rodney Hood, if he's in the right environment, right situation, that dude can play.
Yeah.
They forget how good he was at Duke. All right, we're halfway point of the show, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back second half strong. Lots of stuff to cover, and of course, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we are here for you, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey guys, ESPN 97.5 is inviting you to take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 Occasional Invitational, presented by Twin Peaks, benefiting ProVision. This year's tournament will take place on Wednesday, June 5th at 11:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from our official beer provider, St. Arnold Brewing, so that's worth it. Lunch from Texadelphia, love Texadelphia, my favorite. Dinner from Fajita Pete's, a custom ESPN 97.5 Gus Buster umbrella, which is the number one umbrella for all professional golfers, and 18 holes of golf. Register now, ESPN975.com, ESPN975.com. That's going to be fun. Sucks that you can't play in it. I'm like, I'm not a great golfer, but it would have been fun.
You said you can hold your own?
Back in the day. I golf like once every 3 years now, 2 years. If I got close to 100, I'd be happy. I mean, I think when I was playing every day, and I was working as a painter for an apartment complex, and I lived in the apartment complex. So I would get up at 7 in the morning and start painting apartments, and I'd be done at like 3. And as soon as I would get off work, it was a 7-second walk to my house, grab my clubs, and drive to Wedgewood and play Twilight by myself, and could get a whole round of golf in before dark during daylight savings.
Yeah.
And I was doing that every day, and I could shoot in the upper 80s, low 90s, consistently, but not anymore. Like I'm saying, if I could get 100, I would be ecstatic.
Well, before I got married and had kids, in the off season, I was playing like you, 4 or 5 days a week.
See?
And because of daylight savings time, we could play till almost 9 o'clock.
You would play all day?
On Saturdays and Sundays.
Wow.
Saturdays and Sundays, we would tee off. But you know what?
36 holes and stuff?
We were more than that a lot of times.
What?
We would be like...
I'd be exhausted.
We would be the sacrificial lambs. We're like, well, the tee times we can get are like right when it's 100 and some degrees, like between noon and 2. We'll take it. They're like, really? And we knew people at the course were like, just as long as if you... realize that we've got more energy after 18 holes. We can keep going. And they're like, you can keep going until it gets dark. I was like, boom, that's all we needed. Wow. And then as more and more people were not on the course, you can play faster. You can play through people. And, oh, me and my buddies would play Saturdays and Sundays. We would tee off about between 12 and 1, and we would get done about 9 o'clock at night.
See, I like golf. I'm not playing that long. I'm exhausted after 18.
You got to realize we had a lot riding on them, too. So it was.
Yeah. I'm just like, and you shouldn't be, especially if you're riding in a cart. But I'd still, like, I'm not. I'd be exhausted. The heat and.
Oh, the heat is the biggest thing.
You get out there and swing 100 times. That'll wear you out. I ain't gonna lie.
Sure.
When I'm playing golf, low 90s all the time. Bitch. High 80s.
So what, the temperature?
Ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Some of the temperature outside.
I was going to say, that's great. How much have you spent on your Golden Tee career?
Yeah, I've never played. I don't think I've ever played.
My buddy's got so bad that you want to talk about like who's an all-world Golden Tee player? Matt Maloney.
Oh, really?
Matt Maloney, he put a Golden Tee in his house.
Well, he had the money.
Yeah, but he loved it.
Didn't he rob the Rockets too?
I don't know about robbed. He got one of those deals that everybody brings up.
Yeah, he is. He's on that list, that short list of Kelvin
Seven
Cato.
17, I believe. 7 years. Was it worth that money? $17 deal.
No.
He started all 82 the year
back,
before
Matt
the
Maloney.
Contract, and then after that, and then the Rockets came to him, and why wouldn't you? The Rockets came to him and said, "We want to elongate it, so just extend it over a longer period of time." He's like,
"That's found
absolutely.
Money,
absolutely."
Yeah. So you want to pay me? What was the? If you, I mean, what was the average year on that deal?
7 and 17, 2.
Okay.
Two plus, right?
Two plus. And they're like, well, we'll give you 1.5 a year for the next 12 years or whatever it ends up being. Man, I would totally do that.
Yeah, because, you know, then it's like
him and Kelvin Cato.
He didn't have to work. The rest of his life, he had income coming, you know, for the
Is he still in Houston?
Yeah. He's got a house here in Houston. Fiance, Jen, that works for the Sunshine Kids.
Oh, how come you've never had him on?
I've asked him. He's kind of, it's weird. And he had his rock band a few years ago. He had a rock band that actually had, he had an album out on iTunes and it was doing
fairly
well.
Maloney and the Paychecks.
No.
Oh.
But I talked to him about it.
Money.
And I said, we'd love to have him on. And he thought about it and then just didn't, at the end, he just doesn't want to do it.
So. Do you think it's because he knows?
He's kind of he's an inverted guy. He's
introvert.
Introvert and kind of shy in a lot of ways. But look, the music from everybody I talked to and all the reviews they got, he had a lead singer named Calvin that was really good.
What was the name of the band?
I'll have to look it up for you. But they were doing fairly well for a little bit. He recording albums and everything. But
Matt Maloney Band.
Yeah, I think he just got on Twitter recently, too.
We got oh, really?
Yeah.
Matt Maloney brings his passion for basketball into his music. This is from Philly.com.
He's from Philly.
So we'll find the name of the band here.
I can find it for you.
Are you going to? I know we won't bump in and out because it's way back Wednesday, but I'd be interested to hear what kind of music was it? Do you know?
Yeah, it was kind of like
goth rock. No.
Let me.
Well, he was an Ivy League guy, right?
Starline is the name of the band.
Starline. Nicholas, get on it. What? So he was an Ivy League guy, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
He started out at Vanderbilt with his roommate, John Amici.
Uh-huh.
And then transferred to Penn.
Okay. Penn's in the Ivy League, right?
Penn is an Ivy League school, correct.
Don't ask me why I knew that.
And his dad was the longtime number one assistant to John Chaney at Temple.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so look. Fundamentally and everything, Matt can run circles around everybody.
Sure.
And again, people were enamored when they found him out of nowhere that first year. He started all 82 games, played big in the playoffs.
Had big time three-point shots, yeah.
Chicks dug him because of the look and everything like that. But he was on top of the world there and then got... For it's not year. His fault they offered him a big deal.
No, yeah, I don't begrudge him. If you offered me that money, I'm taking it. And speaking of basketball, one thing I did see, which I actually read but I didn't see... about the draft lottery last night for the NBA is there were talks that during the lottery or this weekend or whatever, that there might be some changes coming down in the NBA as far as officiating and challenges go, which I thought was pretty interesting. One of the things they want to do or that's being discussed is instead of having the replay go back to New York, it's having a replay official at the scorer's table. They can make certain decisions on the fly. Like 3-point shot, 2-point shot, was his toe on the line? Instead of having to stop and then go back and look,
good idea.
He can just look at it and go, oh, no, that was a 3, and they just keep going. That way they don't have to do it. And I know sometimes they do it at a break, But that would just alleviate some of that pressure. The other thing that I thought was interesting were coaches' challenges.
Yeah, because of the success of the NFL.
So they're saying that there's some discussion on how you do that, obviously, and what you could challenge. You know, can you challenge foul calls, or would it be like a goaltending or something like that? How do you handle the timeouts? What if a team doesn't have timeouts? And then what about non-calls, like the landing zone fouls that weren't called?
Or bad interference.
How do you handle like the fact that there's a non-call? I just like that they're considering it because, again, at the end of the day, you just want the calls to be right.
You know what? And it's a proactive league. The fact that before it gets to be an issue, or they have an issue like that happened with the Saints and the Rams or things like that they're exploring it, they're learning from other leagues. And the other one that you didn't mention that's going to be a big one, especially for us, that's going to make the whole thing a whole lot more fun and basketball is going to get a lot more run. They're moving the opening day of when you can start talking to free agents from like the end of the first week in July to June 30th.
Oh, wow.
And they may do it as soon as this season, which means if the finals go the full run, it's all the way to the third week in June, and in the very next week, free agency begins.
That's smart on their part.
Highly intelligent move, because now everybody will continue to talk basketball
during the
and talk about who's going after what players, who's meeting with who next week.
Yeah,
so that's a big deal too. But I like how proactive the league has always been.
Yeah, I like the fact that there's the ability to have a coach's challenge. I mean, every other sport has that. Now you've got baseball where you can ask for a replay or review something. And basketball is the only sport left that does that, that doesn't have that, and they're probably the sport that needed it second most to the NFL. I mean, when you think about how involved officiating is in basketball, even more so than football and baseball to a certain degree,
even if you
especially
say
the stories that come out, like, NFL refs suck, but, there's a lot of it that, and we had, like you said, the Saints game was the big one, the outlier, but you feel like still that the players ultimately decide the game a lot of times. There might be agendas, but it doesn't feel like it. And basketball is the only sport, maybe outside of Angel Hernandez in baseball. I feel like basketball is the if you were ranking them, basketball would be first in officials and agendas versus teams and players in the league. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree with that because as we've gotten to the last couple of years, the refs, we know them by name. We know their personality and their demeanors. We know so many different things about them. And the best umpires are the ones you don't know.
Right. And again, I'm not suggesting that this doesn't occur in football. And I'm not suggesting.
No, but
because,
point,
people are going to be like, what about Angel Hernandez? What about this guy in football? I get it. I'm just saying in basketball, if you were ranking the three, basketball would be first on the list of officials and agendas.
I'm with you because here's the thing. Just like the home run signal in baseball. The basketball players are doing it all game anyway on certain key plays, even if it isn't in the final 2 minutes.
The whoop-de-woop.
Instead of throwing something on the floor, if you could just make that signal and say, look, just like when replay started, we're only going to do it on if it was a block charge, if there was offensive basket interference, or if a ball went out of bounds so we can make sure it's in the right player's hands instead of getting the ticky-tack of was it a foul, wasn't it a foul?
Right.
I think it would help the game.
I'm with you. And again, it's about getting the calls right at the end of the day. It's about getting important calls right.
No doubt about it.
A good call to make that's always going to be right is using GetUpside to get cash back. I just pulled up the app because I got to fill up today after my trip to Austin. What GetUpside does, first of all, I'll explain to you. It's a free app to download to your phone, and it gets you cash back on stuff you're already paying for, like gas and food. And I'm looking at the app right now. It's so easy to use. You just open it, you click on gas or food, and it tells you all of the restaurants or gas stations in your area that are offering cash back to you to just come and eat there or fill up there. So I click on the gas button, and then all the ones in our area come up. There's an Exxon and four Shell stations. One of them has 14 cents a gallon cash back. Why would you not want to get that money back in your pocket? Why would you I don't care that I'm getting 14 cents a gallon back. I do. Like, money is important to me. And if someone came up and offered me a couple of bucks at the pump, I want that. So download GetUpside, put in my promo code Barry, BARRY, because you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back. And there's over 500 gas stations in the app just in the Houston area alone. And that promo code Barry is going to get you extra cash back on your first fill up, kind of as an incentive to give it a try and see what you think. I promise you, you're going to love it. ABC 13's already done a story on the GetUpside app. Listeners have been sending me screenshots of the money they've gotten back. This is real cash. in your pocket. I had someone say they went and saw Endgame with the money they made through the GetUpside app. Why are you leaving money at the pump? Why are you leaving money at the dinner table? You going to Wendy's to grab a burger? You could have gotten up to 35% cash back on your meal today. Don't be a dummy. Don't leave money at the pump. Don't leave money at the table. Download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Go get that cash back. Thank me later.
ESPN 97.5.
Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living. Because the latest decking from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, it comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. And that's something wood can't promise. So if you want to bring the superior performance and durability of Trex to your backyard, visit Trex.com for deck plans and to order samples.
At Indeed, we believe a resume is a great way to see an overview of a candidate. But you're not hiring a resume. You're hiring a person. That's why Indeed offers tools that help bridge the gap between a candidate and the resume. Like skill tests, which let you actually see a candidate's abilities in action to make sure they're a good fit for the job. See beyond the resume with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling throughout number 2 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Wednesday in the big city. Cheap Trick, another classic.
Not bad.
Cheap Trick's got a lot of good tunes.
Really?
They're coming here this weekend, I think. There's like really? A three-play of those old-school rockers. It's Bad Company.
I think I know Cheap how they Trick. Got their name.
They got some good videos back in the day, though.
They.
She's Nice, She's Tight, She's a Hell of a Girl.
That's a song?
Mm-hmm.
I found Matt Maloney's band.
Starline. Oh, you found the music?
I mean the music, oh, yeah. Okay.
Ooh, come here. Now, is he a singer?
No, that's Calvin. I mean, he does backups and stuff, backup vocals and things like that. He plays guitar.
Okay. It's not bad.
Bruise.
That's the name of the song?
That's the name Bruise? Of the song. There's 11 on this particular album.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, on Spotify.
They worked hard on it, and like I said, the reviews were good on it when they were on iTunes or wherever.
Do they have like ratings? Like when you know how you can go look at a podcast and see like downloads? Do they give you that on Spotify?
I think
like,
they do.
This is a popular or not popular or whatever.
I mean, like it took me a minute to find it. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh, it did?
Even if through I go Spotify.
To, let's see. Spotify. What is it called?
The album's been out for
CGM
a while.
CGM is when the album. Starline is the
Starline.
Name of the group. Oh, one All yeah. one word.
Starline, yep. Yeah. Artists.
It's a greenish red.
CJM. There you go. So their number one song, according to Google Play, is a song called Soul Crusher from their album called Soul Crusher. That sounds like they just wrote that about my wife.
Wow.
Mm-mm. Soul Crusher Mm-mm. is
nope.
a song on that
no,
same album.
Sir.
Nope. Response, nope.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
Not nope. gonna. Wouldn't be prudent. Not gonna. No.
I call her my little DC. My little dream crusher. Nora is my dream crusher. Like, anytime I'm like, babe, this is what I was thinking. I was thinking I'm going to do this, this, and this. And she'll be like, I mean, I don't think it'll work. Like, she's my little dream crusher. Anytime I get my hopes up or I feel like things are going well for me, I can always count on my baby to bring me back down to earth and keep me level. If I start feeling myself, Nora's going to be like, I don't think so. You're just a regular ass dude. Get back here. Yeah, she keeps me in check, man. You got to have that.
She writes down the things that you should not do, like, what's his name? Kenny Rogers. Isn't that what you said?
Yes. Yeah. That's basically, yeah, that's a good, well, it was all right.
She wasn't there for you before Boom Boom. She would have told me not. Don't ever become Boom Boom.
Never rap or do Boom Boom. So yeah, I'd like to hear. So what was that song called? Bruised?
That was Bruised, and Soul Crusher is actually a song on the same album. It's not an album.
Oh, it says Soul Crusher. Oh, maybe they just released
that's
it as a
single? Second song
well,
on the same
according to
same
Google
album.
Play, in order, that's their number one song. So play Soul Crusher for me.
Okay.
Because I want to, now, I hope they don't curse.
Me too.
You're like, I hope. Sounds like Marilyn Manson.
Supposed to be dark and Depeche Mode-ish, according to
the
Houston
really?
Press. Yeah,
is that right?
They're like I could see Depeche Mode.
I didn't know the right genre.
That sounds
about
right.
Categorize their music, but
I mean that's the way Houston Press worded it. I mean I can read it for you.
No, this sounds about right. Depeche Mode,
9-inch. It's supposed to. It aligns perfectly with the moodier sections of Depeche Mode or 9-inch Nails.
Yep.
And it's supposed to be mysterious, dark, and sensual.
Ooh, just like me.
I don't know about all that.
Just like me. Okay. That's not bad.
No,
I thought it was going to be awful.
Me too. I feel like there's effort. There's some decent production in this.
They put
on Spotify.
A lot of effort into it. They really did.
Musically, they're musically inclined, not just like, yeah,
it sounds like a song you could potentially hear on the radio.
Yeah, and they had the studio. They were in there all the time. And obviously, like, Matt, and then he introduced us to Calvin. And we just knew Calvin as one of the, just a dude that was hanging out. Then we found out he was the singer in the band and then realized how much time they were putting into it. And they put, and like I said, I know it was years ago when the album you're talking about came out a couple of years ago. But when it first came out, it was getting pretty good reviews.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah.
Nick just sent me, not you, Nick, but Nick Lineback. Just sent me a tweet. He goes, literally, while you were just talking about GetUpside, I just got an email from them that said I just got a 15-cent a gallon referral bonus. So, yeah, keep using it, man. It works.
I am the smartest man alive!
It's legit.
Yeah, no doubt.
Legit.
Did you see this? I mentioned it to you when we were coming in today. Uh-huh. But this is just the weirdest thing ever. The fact that you've got... The NFL draft is free agency is pretty much over. The draft is behind us. You know, you were talking about the grades that everybody got and everything like that. And you look at what happened in New York and all the controversy around the Giants. The Jets did pretty damn well, I think.
And their draft?
Yeah, and free agency.
Yeah, I thought they had a really good draft. Yeah.
They fired their general manager today.
I don't understand why.
To me, and look, and for people that are looking at the Texas and the Houston angle on this, but whether you know it or not, Mike McCagnan, 14 years with the Texans, was brought in by Charlie Casserly, was the director of scouting from like 2002 to 2014, been with the Jets for 4 years. But when you look at the guy who was responsible for getting the deal done to get you Le'Veon Bell, you brought in some pretty good free agents. You had a really good draft. The year before, you got Sam Darnold, your franchise quarterback, which the Giants are struggling mightily with. Evidently, it was a power struggle with Adam Gase, the new coach. And Gase has a relationship with a guy that's a vice president in their personnel department. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at that McCagnan and Gase didn't get along.
So Cody Stutes, I saw this about 3 hours ago. He retweeted a tweet. And his comment was, this should go really well. But he retweeted an initial tweet from Manish Mehta, who said, one disagreement between Adam Gase and Mike McNannon / Christopher Johnson was that Gase absolutely did not want to sign Le'Veon Bell per sources. In fact, he made it clear that he did not want to spend a lot of money on any running back. You know what this sounds like to me? This sounds a lot like the Texans. Because now you've got Adam Gase as the interim GM until they pick a new GM. Guess who's probably going to get to pick his boss?
Yeah, you're
Adam
right.
Gase.
Good call.
Guess who picked his boss? Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
So,
good call.
Yeah. This is shaping up to be that.
And well, look,
you could have done a
struggle,
lot worse.
Right?
You could have done a lot worse. Did you overpay for Le'Veon Bell? Maybe. Probably. But I felt like the dude had a great draft and he went out and he tried and he was given. I mean, the owner gave him the purse strings and said, go spend money. I saw a thing on ESPN. The top four, where'd it go? Here it is. Jets spent big in free agency. It says, The Jets are the only team in the NFL that's committed at least $15 million in guaranteed money to four different free agents since the new league started on March 13. C.J. Mosley, $51 million guaranteed. Le'Veon Bell, $35 million guaranteed. Jamison Crowder, $17 million. And Henry Anderson, $17 million. But you're not spending that money without, you know, you're trying to make a splash of trust. You got Sam Darnold now in the fold. You had a great draft.
You just hit it, though. That's the biggest thing, too. The way he went about this is it wasn't just about filling needs through free agency that fill holes on the roster or make you better. It was about also making a splash because you are in New York and you are up against the Giants and you are up against all this scrutiny. So you made the big splash with Le'Veon Bell when everybody, including Texans fans, were hearing that, you know, he was considering their team. He got a splash in terms of the media. Yep. He got a player that has something to prove, that wanted his money. Now, and again, because you look at it over a four-year period of time, he's made the Jets relevant when they were absolutely the exact opposite.
They won four games last year.
Right. They've been irrelevant for how many years? And all of a sudden, this guy puts them on the map. This is a power struggle that didn't go his way. And you're right. You absolutely pegged it. This is Texans part D.
I'm interested to see. I was trying to pull up team stats for like rushing yards and stuff. How bad were the Jets at running the ball?
You think Adam Gase stared him in the eye when he told him?
Too bad.
After Adam Gase's press conference with those eyes, you think he stared him in the face when he told him?
Right. So I pulled up rushing yards, right? Jets finished 26th in the league in rushing yards with 1,622. And now you're mad because you added one of the better backs in football?
Yeah, I
get not wanting to spend the money, but obviously what you had wasn't working. You went out and made a splash, like you said, New York market. You're in the division with the Patriots, and I don't understand it.
So many other factors to consider, and the fact, like, the Giants struggling with a franchise quarterback, and did they get the right guy? The Jets
now that one I would
right
be a little
guy.
More worried about. You think Darnold is the man?
You and I have gone back and forth on this. I really believe that he is, I believe he's going to be the long term franchise quarterback of the Jets. But look, for whatever reason, you know what? The draft went right fell into his lap. And again, the Giants took Saquon and put him in the position to do what he did. But he did what he was supposed to do.
Yep.
So because of a power struggle, he's out.
Yep.
So look for Bill O'Brien to bring him back real quick. All right. Before we get to any further on the show with the final hour on the clock, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy, locally owned and operated energy company right out of here of H-Town. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. I switched about 2 years ago, and I kid you not, I've saved thousands off the bills I was getting from my previous energy provider. And it was all because they took the time with customer service and real human beings to understand when I use energy the most, when I use it the least, weekends versus weekdays, work versus is it for my house. All these things, they ask you questions. If you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you can also log on to infuseenergy.com. But give them a call because you're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system, and they're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them until they pinpoint the best rate and the best deal for you. They are going to be honest above all things, and they want to be like a trusted friend. That means in the rare occasion that there's another energy provider out there that can beat their rates, they're going to let you know about it because they want to be a trusted friend. You may not go with them this time, but you'll go with them at some point because you remember that they weren't going to pull the wool over your eyes. They were going to be upfront, and that's all you can ask for when you're making a business deal like this. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, $25 off your first bill just like that, and it goes from there. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips and affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.